Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hello there, online church, friends, people in Denver, wherever this is going. Glad you're with us here on Wednesday night. I got a word from the Lord, I believe, that will be a blessing to you and challenge you. And I want to say hi. Hi to our redeemers out there that are able to tune in and see us around today, tomorrow, whenever you tune into this. And hello to our men of purpose, our men's group. Good to see you guys. God bless you. And all the other attenders of Encounter Church. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're watching. And may God bless you tonight. What does King David, he had it. Daniel had it. Paul had it. I think our own Marilyn Hickey has it. Missionaries have it. What is it that these and so many others have to do with it? How did David kill Goliath? How did Daniel go into that den with those lions and just survive? And not just survive, but prevail. How do missionaries go around the world and do what they do? Well, they all point to a subject that I want to touch on tonight briefly, which is supernatural confidence. They have a supernatural confidence in God that was able to do something that was not of their own strength, but God's strength. David had a supernatural confidence in the Most High God. He said to Goliath, "Who do you think you are to come against the God of Israel?" Daniel just boldly went into the lion's den, didn't even blink an eye. Didn't slow down a bit. They didn't have to drag him in there. He just went. He knew he was in God's hands. He had a supernatural confidence that God would prevail. I want to talk to you about that tonight because there's two parts to it tonight I want to share with you in the time we have. First, I want to just share with you something that happened to me. I don't want this to happen to anybody else, but it's going to tie in with something. I was, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, I was running up on my neighbor's porch. They didn't know I was coming over to say hi, but I was running up on their porch. And as I was running, I had my flip-flops on, and my flip-flops caught the edge of the stair, and I went flying over their step, over into their yard, which didn't have grass in it yet, still is dirt, hit the dirt, rolled on the dirt, and I hit hard. Pat hit hard, and I rolled like a rock, and I thought, wow, I hope nobody saw that. And, you know, I don't think anybody did except God and all the angels. And so there I was laying there, and what happened is I twisted my right knee. I pulled my left hamstring in my leg, and I could barely walk for 2 or 3 days. I'm still stretching it out. And here's the challenge with that. I was getting into hiking into some of the areas of where we live, some of the trails up where we live. And I was really trying to start hiking 2, 3, 4 days a week, just in those areas. And when that happened to me and I tripped and I fell, I got out of the routine of hiking. Really kind of made me mad, actually, at what I did and mad at the devil and whatever happened there. But it took me time to start getting back. But I had, for a while, a limp. I was limping. Just limping like that. And I felt like what God said to me was this tonight as we talk about having supernatural confidence is too many Christians have a limp in their spiritual walk. You're limping too much. You're not walking in supernatural confidence. You're limping in fear. You're limping in doubt. You're limping in failure. You're limping in what you did not do last year or what you did do that you're not happy about. You think you've missed God, so it's too late for you. You're limping out of all kinds of frustrations in your life. And I'll tell you this, believers, God does not want his church to be limping through the land. We're supposed to be running through the land, shouting the name of Jesus, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, ministering to other people. There's not a limp in our spiritual body. Now, I had one in my physical legs, but there's not a limp in my spiritual legs. I can still jump and shout in my spirit, and I can still proclaim what God has for me to proclaim to people around me. Supernatural confidence. You and I, believers, you and I cannot live this Christian life without it. You and I cannot succeed in what we are called to do without it. Now, you can have confidence in yourself that will last a while. You can have confidence in somebody else that will last a while. You can have confidence in natural talents, abilities, careers, degrees, money. That will last a while. But I'm talking about kingdom accomplishments while we're on this earth. I'm talking about what God's called you to do and what he's called you to be. And you cannot see that happen without supernatural confidence. And I want to break this down into two parts tonight. And I'm going to start in 1 John, the letter of John, 1 John chapter 3. And if you have a Bible at home, please get it. Please read along with me. And John, of course, wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the book of Revelation. He wrote letters 1, 2, and 3 of John. I believe 1 John, 5 chapters, is some of the greatest things written in the Bible. What he writes in this little book of 5 chapters is revolutionary, life-changing, and prepares a believer for the foundation he needs to stand on and the life he needs to live. If we can understand what 1 John is all about in those 5 chapters, we'll never look back at our sinful life or look back at our failures or weaknesses. We'll look at the Christ who's in us, the Jesus who's in us, and we won't be limping around anymore. We'll be running with the Holy Spirit. And in 1 John chapter 3, we have a few people here tonight, so you feel free to shout out there, Tony, because, hey, why not? We got Pastor Eliphaz here. He's a shouter. And so if you're here, we just have a few here. The rest are watching us online. But we want to talk to you about that kind of supernatural confidence. And in 1 John, I'm just going to go to verse 20. 1 John 20, he says, "In whatever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart knows all things," and verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." I want to zero in on just those three words: confidence before God. Confidence before God. Too many Christians are afraid of approaching God with confidence. There's too much guilt. There's too much shame in their life. How can I approach this mighty, holy God who is so far above me, who is so great, so much greater than I am? And so we timidly come into our prayer closet. We barely ask him for anything, and we dare not believe that surely his power won't flow through us to go out and do something for other people. Surely he wouldn't did that for me because, you know, I got all this baggage in my life. And so we don't have confidence as we come into God's presence. But that's exactly what John is telling us to do. And he builds chapters 1 and 2 right into chapters 3. And he explains kind of what it takes for us to have that kind of confidence. Now, let me just share a quick thought here, a quick story to tie into this. We all have heard In-N-Out hamburgers are coming to town. And everybody loves In-N-Out hamburgers. I know some people who have In-N-Out hamburgers flown into them where they live. And they love it so much because it's not here yet. But In-N-Out hamburgers are building 2 or 3 restaurants here in the Denver area. And I've already, you know, everybody's talking about it. You can go to a store and they mention it. Everybody's excited about it. My question to you and to In-N-Out is, what gives In-N-Out the confidence to come to Denver in the midst of the coronavirus and build 3 restaurants? I think they're building 3 or 4. What gives them the confidence to come in here and think they're going to succeed? What's with these people who think they can build a restaurant? When other restaurants are going out of business, they think they can come here and succeed in the midst of the coronavirus. I'll tell you why they know they can succeed. Because they have a track record. They have succeeded for decades in building their restaurants all over the place. And they have mega customers. They've got great success. And so when they come to Denver, they say, "We know what we're doing because we've done it 100 times. And we know when we open the front door, there's going to be people waiting to buy the best hamburger in town." At least some people think that. And so they have a track record. What I'm saying to you is, when we look at 1 John, John, by the Spirit, gives us a track record to look back on. He gives us the steps of success that we have in Christ so that when we come to chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. We can have confidence before God because of the track record that he laid out for us in Jesus Christ. We're not coming to God on our own merit. We're not coming to God on our own works. We're not coming to God in our own holiness. We dare not, we cannot. We come to God in confidence because of his son, Jesus Christ. Listen to some of these key words that John mentions in these five chapters. He says, we are forgiven, we are overcomers, we are loved, we're called the beloved of God, we are anointed. I mean, he mentions the fact we are anointed in this little book. He says to you, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. You are not to be led around by other people's opinions because you have the anointing to be led around by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Christians, listen to me. Stop listening to everybody else. Begin to have confidence in the anointing God's given you. He's given it to you. He's not just giving it to the famous people you see on TV. You're famous in heaven. Your name is known in heaven. You can have supernatural confidence with Almighty God, even though you might think you're nothing in Christ, you're everything. You can have that. And if you would believe in the anointing God's given you, you might begin to see certain things happening in your life and through your life. Other words that Paul or John mentions, he says we have eternal life. He talks about eternal life in this book. He talks about abiding in Christ. He mentions abiding over and over. But not only that, he mentions Christ abiding in us. Now listen, that's our track record. Like In-N-Out hamburgers, they have a track record of success. Boom! They build on that and go to another city and start another restaurant. Believer, you and I have a track record of success. It is everything Jesus did, everything he accomplished, everything he purchased at Calvary, everything he brought out of the empty tomb, and he freely gave it to you and to me and anyone who would call on his name. We have a track record of success. All we have to do is look at Jesus and say, he's it. He is my success, and in him I can boldly go to the throne of God in time of need. So when we talk about supernatural confidence, here's a couple words that might help you understand what that means. Holy boldness, that word confidence can mean holy boldness, means total reliance, means complete assurance. See, all of those words are a part of that word confidence. You can have holy boldness. And notice it says, as I mentioned, because we can come before God. Can you imagine? Come before God with confidence? I thought only the angels did that. We do that. Now here's the key. The Bible says in verse 20, in this chapter, in whatever our heart condemns us. Now, you're going to have to read 1 John a little bit on your own to discover some of these things. But John has basically, in the first two chapters, pointed out to us that Jesus Christ has perfected us in his Spirit. He's forgiven us, cleansed us, anointed us, abides in us, given us eternal life, and has become our power source. But then it comes and says, but if you are condemned before God, God's greater than your heart. Here's what he's talking about. Too many Christians come before God and they feel condemned. God's already told them who they are. God's already presented to them what he's done for them. But yet they still come before God feeling guilty and ashamed. But the Bible says in this verse, listen to me. God is greater than your shame. God is greater than your false guilt. And he knows you on the inside. Let him move in your life so that you're not moved by your sense of guilt and shame, but by the greater power of God. Here's another interpretation of this verse out of the New Living Translation. Listen to this. Verse 20, verse 21, John chapter 3. New Living Translation. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. See, that's what that verse is talking about. It's not talking about the reality of what happened to us in Jesus. It's our feelings that condemn us. It's our emotions that condemn us and hold us down. But God's greater than all of that stuff. And then he says, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. I'm going to read that again. Listen to me out there on your couch, at your dining room table, or wherever you're watching this. Listen to me, because God's not wanting a weak church. God's not wanting a limping church. God wants a church of power and confidence. Listen to this again. If we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. You get that? If we don't feel guilty, well, I always feel guilty. I'm always sinning. I'm always blowing it. Listen, folks, you have to begin to believe more in the righteousness that God's given you than your own sense of sin and failure and guilt that you've just come out of. Lay it down, and here's the great thing. God said he is greater than our feelings, greater than these false sense of shame. God's greater, which means God will help you come through those emotional chains to move right into the realm of his spirit, right into the realm of revelation in his word of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Supernatural confidence comes about by knowing what God has done for you and for me through Jesus Christ. But the devil comes in every day and begins to tell you how bad you are, how weak you are, how no good you are. If we keep living there, believers, we'll never move into the place God wants us to be. Now, where does God want us to move into? That's step two. Because I want to talk to you tonight about two areas of supernatural confidence. The first one is we have confidence with God. Every moment, every day, every week, every month, you can boldly walk with God and believe God to do supernatural things in your life. We don't have time to look at the other verses there, but keep reading further and see what it is God wants you to do. But the second part of supernatural confidence is found over in the book of Acts. Here in the book of Acts, chapter 4, we have the story of the apostles after the Pentecostal outpouring. They go out and they start preaching. They get arrested. They get beat up. They get thrown in jail. This is just a few days after the great outpouring of Acts chapter 2. And you would think, well, wow, they got arrested, beat up, thrown in jail. Some of us would just give up at that point right there. I don't want to get beat up. I'm going home. I don't want to go to jail. I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus. Man, they're trying to shut us up. In our society today, we might see more of this happening where we're just told to shut up. We're not just the only generation that's ever been in the body of Christ that might not experience tribulation and problems and persecution. But we cannot cower in it. We cannot stop being who we are, and we cannot stop doing what God's called us to do and to be. We need supernatural confidence. So what did these guys do? Did they run back to the upper room and say, wow, we must have missed God. We thought we were just going to go out there and everybody would just love us. They didn't go back to the upper room. They got together in prayer and they began to do this. And then it says in verse 29 of Acts chapter 4. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. Grant that your bondservants may speak your word with confidence. Let me read that again. I'm going to read it again. Even if you don't like my voice, here it comes. Verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with confidence. While you extend your hand. Now, here's the revolutionary thing about this. Then it says they prayed, and God, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. See the partnership of this with God? We walk in confidence. He shows up and ministers life. If we hide in our rooms, we'll never see the demonstrations of the Spirit. You got to get out there. You got to have supernatural confidence. And then then it says this in verse 31. When they had prayed, what happened? The place was shaken. And where they were gathered, the place was shaken. And they were all, say all in your living room, all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. boldness and confidence. Supernatural outpouring of boldness and confidence. They said, God, we're willing to go. We're willing to preach. We're willing to minister. But thank you for the power of boldness that comes into our life. See, beloved, you and I can't do this on our own. We don't have it, but Christ in us does. And what God is wanting us to do is have a confidence in his confidence. He wants us to have a faith in his ability. He wants us to have a trust in his moving through our life. That's all he's asking. He's not asking us to do it. He's asking us to be the vessel that he flows through. And to do that, you need supernatural confidence. And so today or tonight or whatever day it is, tonight I'm trying to tell you a couple things. I'm trying to tell you really just two simple things. Two simple areas of supernatural confidence. One, when you go into the presence of God for prayer, for devotions, for fellowship, not with a sense of condemnation, a sense of sonship, a sense of belonging, a sense of this is my place. And when we do that with our Abba Father, he's pleased. Can you imagine children with their natural dads never having confidence in their dad, never trusting their dad's love or ability or acceptance, and the father of that child feels so neglected and rejected? God doesn't want to do that with us. He doesn't want you afraid of him. He wants you to be confident in his presence. That's number one. Number two, simply is this. Have supernatural confidence in your walking out your obedience to Jesus Christ. The preaching of the gospel, whatever that might mean to you. The sharing of God's love to other people. I felt like God spoke this to me when I was driving over here. And you can take this and do what you want with it. But I believe with football not being played, there's going to be some NFL. We're not sure where it's going to go. No college football. Lots of things being canceled in the fall. I have loved sitting at home on Saturday watching college football. I don't mind watching the NFL. But I felt like God said this to me driving over here. And men of purpose, don't get mad at me. But now that a lot of this isn't going to be going on, my Saturdays are going to be a little freer. My Sunday afternoons might be a little freer because the NFL, who knows where that's going to go. And God was challenging me. He said, now that I've given you more freedom on those days, what will you do with your confidence in me to go minister to somebody else? Because I feel like God, he didn't cause this virus, not by any stretch, but he is removing certain things, I think, to make place for the body of Christ to step into that gap and say, use me, God, here I am. I can't spend my time watching college football, but I can spend my time feeding the poor, praying for the sick, talking to my neighbor, whatever the case might be. You can do it if you have supernatural confidence. Those are the two areas that I think God is working on. So I'd like to close with this. If I may, and that is simply a story out of the Old Testament, because I feel like what God is saying is a lot of believers are facing this. There was a wonderful king. We've all heard of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the great kings of Israel, but they were up against the battle of their life. In the battle of their life, the king of Assyria, his name was Sennacherib. Yeah, just try to spell that. Sennacherib. And he was evil. He was ugly. Even when he looked in the mirror, he probably shocked himself how ugly he was. And he was violent. He was all of that. You can imagine. He killed nations, ripped down cities. He brought his army of multiple thousands of soldiers to Jerusalem. Hezekiah had somebody with him called Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. And Isaiah and Hezekiah got on their face and they prayed. And they prayed and they prayed for God's deliverance. But Sennacherib's general, though, would march right in front of the walls of Jerusalem. And he'd say to the children of Israel, Who do you think you're trusting in? Who are you putting your confidence in? Hezekiah can't save you. Isaiah can't save you. Your God can't save you. Our great king Sennacherib is going to rip your city apart, just like he has done with all these other nations. And Hezekiah and the people of Israel, at first, they were very, very scared. Then they got into the presence of God, and God gave them a word. And it says that God sent an angel, one angel, wiped out Sennacherib's army outside the walls of Jerusalem. Then Sennacherib went back to his hometown in Assyria, and he was killed in his own temple. God answered the prayer. But the key is this. His general was trying to put fear into the hearts of Israel by telling them, you can't have confidence in God. You can't beat me. You can't stop me. I'm going to run you over, and I'm going to rip down your walls, and I'm going to kill your family, and I'm going to steal your job, and I'm going to put a virus on you, and I'm going to wipe you out, and there's no hope for you. Where is your God? Where are your leaders? What are you going to do? And I'm telling you, believers, tonight, we need to do exactly what Hezekiah and Isaiah did. We get on our face before God. We get into a place of supernatural confidence, and we say, look out. The angels of God are going to come wipe you out, and we are going to rise up, and we are going to prevail. God does not want his church cowering behind the walls of Jerusalem. He wants us prevailing. He wants us victorious in your own personal life and as a body to minister to those around us who have no clue that Jesus Christ is Lord. So tonight, as we end this service, I just want to ask that you would just join me in prayer. Understand that you can walk into this just like anybody else. Oh, I'm just a plumber. Doesn't matter. I've only been saved 1 month. Doesn't matter. I've never been to Bible college. Doesn't matter. If you've got Jesus, you've got the whole package. You got the whole deal. God the Father put the whole package in Christ, and then he put Christ in you. And you can walk in this by trusting the God in you. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, you don't want a weak church. You don't want a defeated church. You don't want us cowering behind the wall. You don't want us tripping through life over our fears and failures. No, Father. No, you want us supernaturally empowered, and you want us confident in who you are in our life. I pray for those that are watching this, Father. I pray that they would move out of the realm of weakness into the realm of strength, into the realm of doubt into faith, into the realm of failure into victory. Father, touch them right now, wherever they are, your people. Minister to them tonight. Speak into their heart. I rebuke the guilt and the shame that's attacking some of God's people right now, holding you back from this confidence because you're putting more confidence in who you are rather than who God is in you. I speak life to you. I speak release to you. And tonight, the Holy Spirit, I just sense him right now. He's ministering to you. Just receive. Just receive what he's talking to you about and let him move you into a supernatural place that will amaze you, where he uses you to transform lives as you walk this out day by day. Father, bless them, touch them, and raise up the body of Christ to be the army you want it to be in Jesus' name. Name. Now, I want to ask, if you've never accepted Christ into your life, do so right now. If you're watching me and you're thinking, who is this guy? I'm just a man that was born again, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ many years ago. I called out for salvation. He did it. He saved me. He'll do the same thing for you. Just say, Jesus, save me. Come into my life. Cleanse me of all my sin and make me a child of God. Just say that. Watch what God does in your heart. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Make it to church on Sunday morning. Encounter Church, we love you. We're praying for you. And Pastor Reese will be preaching Sunday morning. RSVP to get here. We'd love to see you. God bless. See you later.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.